Good morning. It is Kale and Company Live right here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday. We are presented by Northeast Delta Dental. Northeast Delta Dental with individual and family plans designed to fit your lifestyle. Learn more and find your plan at DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. Well, you know, there's Major League Baseball going on right now in Seoul, South Korea. This is the only time. Yesterday we had the opportunity. Today we'll have the opportunity to update you on a baseball game that is in progress in the major leagues. It will never probably happen again. So I'm going to take full advantage of it. In the bottom of the fifth inning, a slugfest in Seoul, South Korea today as the Padres lead the Dodgers 10-8 in the bottom of the fifth inning. And the Dodgers won yesterday 5-2. But there's a much, much bigger story going on than the games themselves in Seoul, South Korea. And that story involves the interpreter for Shohei Ohtani, who was fired after the ball game yesterday after questions surrounding at least $4.5 million in wire transfers sent from Ohtani's bank account to a bookmaking operation. And it has set off a series of events. There's a lot of confusion surrounding what is going on in this scenario, which just broke in North America last night. Ippe Mizuhara, the longtime friend and interpreter for Ohtani, incurred the gambling debts to a Southern California bookmaking operation that is under federal investigation, multiple sources told ESPN. How he came to lose his job started with reporters asking questions about the wire transfers. Now, initially, a spokesman for Ohtani told ESPN that the slugger had transferred the funds to cover Mizuhara's gambling debt. The spokesman presented Mizuhara to ESPN for a 90-minute interview on Tuesday night, during which Mizuhara laid out his account, in great detail. However, as ESPN prepared to publish the story Wednesday, the spokesman disavowed Mizuhara's account, his account of the story, and said Ohtani's lawyers would issue a statement. Now, a statement from Burke Brettler reads as follows. In the course of responding to recent media inquiries, we discovered that Shohei has been the victim of a massive theft, and we are turning the matter over to the authorities. The spokesman declined to answer any further questions, and the statement did not specify whom they believe perpetrated the alleged theft. This is a very, very confusing story, folks. When asked by ESPN on Wednesday afternoon after the Burke Brettler statement if he had been accused of theft, Mizuhara said he was told that he could not comment but declined to say by whom, would not allow him to comment. Now, the developments this week came as federal investigators are examining the operation run in Southern California by bookmaker Matthew Boyer. The wire transfer payments were sent from Ohtani's account to an associate of Boyer's, according to multiple sources and bank data reviewed by ESPN. Multiple sources, including Mizuhara, the interpreter, told ESPN that Ohtani does not gamble and that the funds covered Mizuhara's losses. ESPN had reviewed bank information showing Ohtani's name on two $500,000 payments sent in September and October. Now, sports betting is legal in nearly 40 states, but California is not among them. Legal sports gaming is not allowed in California. Government-regulated sports books require bettors to pay up front for their wagers, while illegal bookmakers accept bets on credit. Now, sources close to the gambling operation told ESPN that Boyer dealt directly with Mizuhara. Again, he's the interpreter, or no longer the interpreter for Shohei Ohtani, who placed bets on international soccer matches and other sports, but not baseball, starting in 2021. A source said Boyer was aware of the name on the wire transfers, but chose not to ask any questions as long as the payments came in. However, the source told Boyer, the bookmaker, allowed people to believe Ohtani was a client in order to boost business. Oh, boy. This is a mess. Boyer's attorney, Diane Bass, told ESPN, and I quote here, Mr. Boyer never met or spoke with Shohei Ohtani. And she declined to answer any further questions. Now, during the Tuesday interview arranged by Ohtani's spokesman, Mizuhara, who is 39, told ESPN that he asked Ohtani, who was 29 last year, to pay off his gambling debt, which multiple sources said had ballooned to at least $4.5 million. Mizuhara said that he previously had placed bets via DraftKings and assumed bets placed through Boyer were legal. Well, I guess he made the wrong assumption there. Mizuhara placing bets through Boyer, who is a bookmaker. Obviously, he, meaning Ohtani, wasn't happy about it and said he would help me out to make sure I never do this again, Mizuhara said. He decided to pay it off for me. And again, quoting Mizuhara, I want everyone to know Shohei had zero involvement in betting. I want people to know I did not know this was illegal. I learned my lesson the hard way. I will never do sports betting ever again, end quote. But on Wednesday afternoon, Mizuhara told ESPN that Ohtani had no knowledge of his gambling debts and that Ohtani had not transferred money to the bookmaker's associate. So there is all kinds of contradictions in this story, which is still developing. It has overshadowed what's going on the field right now in Seoul, South Korea, by a long shot, because it involves, folks, I would have to say, one of the most highly recognized and most highly thought of athletes in the world today, in Shohei Ohtani. And, you know, I certainly hope, as a baseball fan, that this does not result in a major scandal involving Ohtani, because he means so much to the game. But you don't know. I mean, you always think back to Pete Rose, banished from baseball, not allowed to be in the Hall of Fame because of his gambling activities. And you hope You just hope and pray that the same fate does not beset Shohei Ohtani. But this is a breaking story. There are a lot of questions that still need to be answered. And unfortunately, it is overshadowing what is going on yesterday and today on the field in Seoul, South Korea. We are going to take a break right here, and we'll probably get back to this later on. But we have important things to talk about. After the break, some March Madness coming to Concord, New Hampshire. We'll tell you more right after these words. Kale and Company right here. WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com, presented by Northeast Delta Dental. Welcome back. Kale and Company live here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com, presented by Northeast Delta Dental. Well, I said, we're going to have a touch of March Madness here in Concord, New Hampshire. And on Saturday, Granite State Independent Living will be staging its 13th annual Hoops on Wheels tournament. And joining us now is the president and CEO of Granite State Independent Living, Deb Ritzy. Deb, welcome to the show. Great to have you with us.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for having me.
Well, it is our pleasure here at WKXL. And Deb, the event has been going on now. This is the 13th annual. I've heard lots about it over the years, and it's a really fun day, isn't it?
Yeah, it's super fun, Ken. I mean, it's just because it's so unique, but it drives right to our mission. So it's really fun, and it's grown, and we have lots of great players and sponsors. So this is like my favorite day of the year.
I'm sure it is. Hoops on Wheels, it's an all-day basketball tournament where players maneuver the court using wheelchairs, and they're in wheelchairs whether they have a disability or not, correct?
Correct. Yep. We have a couple of people that are wheelchair users, but 90% of them are able-bodied people getting in a chair, sometimes for the first time, and it's quite fun to watch.
Now playing basketball is a challenge unto itself, but playing basketball in a wheelchair certainly presents a whole plethora of difficulties, and I imagine it's something that takes a while to get accustomed to.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Ken, just think about it. You're in a chair, and your first instinct when a ball goes by you is to get out of the chair.
Yeah, sure.
That's, you know, those rules aren't allowed. You know, you're not allowed to get out of your chair unless you fall out of your chair because you've been overly aggressive. But I think people also underestimate the strength of your arms because, you know, depending on what you weigh, you're pushing that in a chair, trying to dribble a ball, and then trying to get a hoop. So people definitely underestimate the ability, and that's probably why these games are typically low scoring. Like if we have a game that scores 20 points, it was like, you know, the NCAA tournament. It was amazing.
and so this will all take place on Saturday starting at 9 a.m. at the NHTI Wellness Center, which is at 31 College Drive in Concord. And it has been going on for a while, and I'm sure it gets bigger and better every year to benefit Granite State Independent Living. So, Deb, tell us a little bit about the organization.
Sure. So GSIL was formed in 1980 by people with disabilities, and our whole mission is just to promote quality of life for people with disabilities so that they can live as independently as you and I do, and the premise is to keep them in their home. That's our goal. You know, we don't want people transitioning into nursing homes or long-term care, and so we provide 17 different services throughout the state, so we're a statewide organization, for people to tap into to help them live at home. So things like transportation, accessible transportation, things like access modification to their home, putting in a ramp, making their bathroom accessible, making kitchens accessible so they can once again cook, educational services for our students in high school, We do benefit planning. So people who are on Social Security disability and they want to return to the workforce, we help them understand what that means so that they can be successful. We have, you know, employment services where we help somebody reengage in the workforce who may have been out of the workforce for many years. So we help them with very, you know, things we take for granted, like writing a resume and writing a cover letter and preparing for a job interview. And so it's all about helping people live in their terms, how they want to live independently.
Well, it's an incredible organization, and as you mentioned, started in 1980, so the organization has been around now for about 44 years, and I'm certain that it has grown quite a bit in those 44 years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just from a dollar perspective, Ken, you know, this organization started off as a $40,000 budget, and, you know, was helping a handful of people, and now, you know, we're a $28 million organization who's helping thousands of people throughout the state every day. So it's exciting.
And where does the funding come from?
So the majority of our funding is Medicaid dollars. Mm-hmm. So for people having support services in their home. But the rest of the funding is from a federal grant. So we have no, our only funding is state and federal dollars. We don't have private pay. We don't have insurance. And then it's also grant writing. So any grants we may have that we need for accessibility.
And how many people throughout the state of New Hampshire benefit each year from Granite State Independent Living?
Yeah, so it's roughly about 2,000 to 2,200 people a year come in and out of our organization.
Wow, that is something. In all parts of the state, correct?
Yes. Yep, we are a statewide organization, so it doesn't matter where you live. We will come see you and help you get to where you want to be.
Wow. So who came up with the basketball tournament, the Hoops on Wheels idea? Because it is ingenious. It's a great thing.
It is. We had a former employee here who uses a chair and used to invite other people using a chair to actually go over to NHTI 20 years ago, 25 years ago, and just play basketball.
Uh-huh.
And he worked here as an employee, so it was just something that came up as, like, we need a signature event that is mission-driven. And obviously, this is wildly mission-driven.
So what can people expect when they show up? I mean, I'm sure a lot of people will be attending for the first time on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock when the games begin. So what can people expect when they show up Saturday at NHTI?
Yep. So there are two courts that we use. So there are two games going on at all times. And a lot of it is just, I think when they first walk in, it's like shock and awe, like, oh, my God, this is possible. And, you know, we're like, of course it's possible. But it's just really cheering on the teams. Some teams get very, they take their sport very seriously. And we have crashes and bangs and falls on the floor. And people get right up. And there's a bunch of camaraderie because when someone falls out of their chair, everybody gets up to help. And it's just an environment where people are encouraging those who, you know, are going to struggle, and that's the people in the chair who don't normally use a chair. And it's just all about coming together and understanding what it's like to have different abilities, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's quite an event, and it is all Saturday. 9 o'clock, it starts in the morning at the NHTI Wellness Center, 31 College Drive in Concord. And it's free. So how is money raised during this event?
So the teams actually raise money themselves. Mm. So it's $1,000 to have a team in the event. And generally, the team has about 10 people because the games are 5-on-5, and they're 25 minutes each. So they have people swap out so they have enough team because people get, you know, tired very quickly.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And so the teams raise money. Some teams raise more than $1,000. Some teams raise $1,000. So it's the team players and their families. And we have, you know, some of those teams put their event on Facebook. So Facebook gets involved and supports them. And then we also have our grand sponsors who have been with us for years as well that help sponsor the event.
Would you like to mention those?
Oh, absolutely. But you're putting me on the spot. But hold on. Yeah. So we always have, you know, we have our big sponsors, which are always CGI, Benefits and Planning. They're a big one. Merrimack County Savings Bank is another big one. The Spradling Group, TCB Marketing, Henniker Brewery is one of them. You caught me off guard, and I don't have my whole list with me.
Well, that's okay. The people will find out when they show up on Saturday. I'm sure, and I understand there's a 50-50 raffle as well.
Yep. We go around, and what, you know, see, this is the group of people that we generally have there. So we've had a 50-50 every year, and it gets, you know, it can get pretty big, the dollars. And I think almost every year, Ken, whoever wins the 50-50 is like, yeah, no, you can just keep the money. And it's just like, you know, I try to encourage them to take the money and take their team out for a drink afterwards.
Yeah.
But the group of people that we have, they're just so caring and generous for what we do. That it's just very humbling. So I so enjoy, like, just, and I see the same people over and over, and they're just, it's just so nice to have them there. But yeah, the 50-50 is awesome.
All right. It all takes place Saturday starting at 9. The championship game tips off at around 2:30, approximately 2:30. It's going to be a great day of fun and all to benefit Granite State Independent Living. And Deb Ritzy, thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Kale and Company. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care. Deb Ritzy, President and CEO of Granite State Independent Living. Again, that's Saturday, all starting at 9 at the NHTI Wellness Center, 31 College Drive in Concord. 9 in the morning, it starts with the tip-off of the championship game around 2:30. We will take a break. Kale and Company will continue right after these words. We are presented by Northeast Delta Dental. We'll be right back. Kale and Company live here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. And although we are officially in spring, some of you probably woke up to a very little dusting, a trace of snow on your vehicles or on your lawn as a brief, I guess, mini squall. Came through here in the capital region last night. Nothing to get excited about, but it is spring. Although I do recall at least one year, and this was back a number of years ago, that the Red Sox home opener at Fenway Park in the early part of April was snowed out due to a huge snowstorm in the Boston area. So, you know, it can still happen, folks. It can still happen. But we did not have a very snowy winter whatsoever. We did have and we still are in the month of March, but this has been one of the rainiest Marches in the history of the state of New Hampshire. So the weather has been bizarre, to say the least. We had some 60-degree days last week, and then now this week we're waking up to frost on the pumpkin. So you never know what to expect. As Mark Twain once said, if you don't like the weather in New England, wait a minute. And things will change inevitably. Today, by the way, is International Tiramisu Day. Now, Andrew Gibson, our esteemed producer behind the glass, how do you feel about tiramisu?
I like tiramisu. I mean, it's not something I would have all the time, but
well, if you did, you'd probably be about 600 pounds. But
I would, and I have a terrible sweet tooth, as some people around here know. So,
but you wouldn't put it up. I just by the sense I get from what you say, you wouldn't put it up with like one of your top five desserts of all time.
I would not.
Okay,
it's good, but yep. I've had better things.
Yeah, I feel pretty much the same way. It's fine. It's you know, you'd probably never have it at home.
I feel like it's too fancy.
Yeah.
Too fancy for me.
Yeah. It's a little on the rich side. If you did eat it all the time, you would have problems. But it's something sometimes if you go in particular to an Italian restaurant, let's say, that you might select for dessert. I mean, I like it. It's something that I might have like twice a year, something like that. That would be. But today is International Tiramisu Day. If you want to weigh in, no pun intended, give us a call, 603-224-1450. It's something that you probably would not have at home unless, you went to a bakery somewhere and you bought a piece of tiramisu to take it home for a special occasion. I think of like Mike's Pastry Shop in Boston, which started in the North End and is still there. They also have a location now inside North Station in Boston, Mike's Pastries, because I experienced it last week. I didn't know they did, but prior to going to a wrestling event last Wednesday night, they have it's sort of like a mini Faneuil Hall. If you've ever been to Faneuil Hall, a marketplace in Boston with all the different restaurants and so on and shops, they have a mini Faneuil Hall type of thing inside North Station now at the TD Garden. And they have a Mike's Pastry counter in there. And boy, the selections they had. I had one of the best carrot cakes I have ever had last Wednesday night prior to that wrestling event at the TD Garden. And I didn't notice whether or not they had tiramisu because my eyes directly went to that slice. And when I say slice, that's kind of an understatement because this was a huge slice of carrot cake, and it was absolutely some of the best carrot cakes I have ever enjoyed in my life. And I, you know what, Andrew, the first thing that came to my mind when I was eating that carrot cake, and I'm not kidding about this, I said to myself, a cup of Andrew's coffee with cinnamon in it would go so well right now. I did have coffee, but you spoiled me, Andrew. Coffee without cinnamon now, to me, is just kind of blah. You've changed my entire coffee experience.
I do in a pinch.
I've had coffee at, many of the chains, all the chains there are that serve coffee probably, but nothing in my mind now matches the hot coffee that I'm able to come into the studio every day and experience Andrew's hot coffee with cinnamon in it, folks. And don't knock it till you try it because it's great. It is great. And, I look forward to coming to work anyway. But I know when I get here, if you remember to turn it on, Andrew, that it's going to be greeted with some of that hot coffee laced, and I mean that in a good way, with cinnamon. It's delicious. So thank you for that, Andrew.
Of course.
Yeah, it always makes my day to come in here and get a little of that that hot coffee with cinnamon, and it would have gone so well with that carrot cake that I had last week at Mike's Pastries in Boston at North Station. I did not realize. I mean, I've been there since this Faneuil Hall type place existed, but I never really explored it until last Wednesday night. And I will be doing some more exploring again there in the not too distant future. Anyway. Tom Raffio will talk more about this, I'm sure, tomorrow on our Friday Fun Bunch. But the big Shamrock Shuffle is coming up on Sunday in downtown Manchester, and it's always a fun event. It starts off at 10:30 in the morning with a little leprechaun run, as kids 8 and under will run 100 yards, a 100-yard fun run on Sunday morning, starting at 10:30 for youngsters 8 and under. And then at 11 o'clock, the Shamrock Shuffle begins. Now, this is just a 2-mile run, or if you prefer, a 2-mile walk in downtown Manchester. And it all precedes Manchester's St. Patrick's Day Parade, which steps off at noontime on Sunday. Now, Manchester always has their St. Patrick's Day Parade after St. Patrick's Day. And it's a very logical reason, because one of the biggest St. Patrick's Day parades in the country takes place in Boston. And many of the bands that they would like to have in Manchester perform in Boston, because they get a huge crowd in South Boston for the St. Patrick's Day parade. And they have most of the bands that the parade wants in Manchester. So they do the Boston parade on St. Patrick's Day, and then, you know, a week or two later, they will perform in Manchester. So it'll be just about the same as the St. Patrick's Day parade in Boston, with a lot of the same bands, but this time in downtown Manchester. So we kind of extend the St. Patrick's Day holiday in downtown Manchester. The start-finish line is located in front of Veterans Park in downtown Manchester, and you can register on race day starting at 9:30 at the registration tent, which is located right there in front of Veterans Park in downtown Manchester. And that is Sunday, and the registration begins at 9:30. The event itself will begin at 11, and it's only 2 miles, folks. You can do that. No problem, right? Run or walk those 2 miles, and all to benefit a great cause, the New Hampshire Food Bank. Back with more after these messages. Kale & Company Live, WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. We are presented by Northeast Delta Dental. Welcome back. Kale and Company Live here. WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Great lineup of programming all day long here on WKXL. Don't forget our live sports show at 10 this morning, just after 10 o'clock. Slim will be here with the Sports Machine, and he will take a deep dive, I'm sure, once again today, into the NCAA basketball tournament, which begins today for the men at around noontime. And for the women, that tournament will begin tomorrow. So lots of basketball. March Madness will be officially underway starting at noon today. In the meantime, a slugfest in Seoul, South Korea, as they're in the middle of the seventh inning, San Diego Padres leading the L.A. Dodgers by a score of 12-8. Xander Bogaerts sparked a big rally for San Diego in the first inning. Not a good debut for the Dodgers, highly touted and certainly extremely well-paid pitcher, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, as he allowed 5 earned runs in the first inning to San Diego today in Seoul, South Korea. And that's all he did. He just pitched the first inning. And he recently signed a 12-year, get ready for this, folks, a 12-year, $325 million deal with the Dodgers. And he was knocked out today after the first inning in his North American Major League debut. Now, we mentioned this story in the first segment of the program, that it was learned after yesterday's game in Seoul, South Korea, that Shohei Ohtani's longtime interpreter, Ippei Mizuhara, was found by the Dodgers, I should say was fired by the Dodgers, for allegedly now, there's lots of moving parts in this story apparently, allegedly stealing millions of dollars from Shohei Ohtani to cover his gambling debts. This is not only the biggest story in sports right now, it's the biggest trending story, folks, in the world right now. And there are so many unanswered questions. Who knows when they were going to be answered and how long it will take to get to the bottom of this. But on Wednesday afternoon, Mizuhara told ESPN that Ohtani had no knowledge of his gambling debts and that Ohtani had not transferred money, as was earlier reported, to a bookmaker's associate. Remember, gambling, sports gambling, is not legal in California. If you place a bet in California, you're doing it illegally with a bookmaker. Mizuhara and Ohtani are friends, or at least they were. In addition to their professional relationship, Mizuhara has interpreted for Ohtani since the star moved to the United States in 2018, accompanying the two-way player in dugouts, locker rooms, player lounges, on trips, in media settings, and elsewhere, making Mizuhara highly recognizable to baseball fans. He's been the interpreter for Ohtani with team managers and coaches and goes over scouting reports with Ohtani before the games. And I understand from what I heard today on ESPN that Mizuhara was also working with the new Dodgers pitcher that I referenced earlier, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who had a terrible first start for the Dodgers today. But at any rate, if you watch baseball at all and have seen Shohei Ohtani, you've probably seen this guy. The two were rarely separated. Mizuhara runs errands for the pitcher, carries his water bottle, and is ever present. And the duo was referred to as having a brotherhood that goes beyond friendship. Mizuhara had a contract with the Angels when Ohtani played there with the LA Angels and signed with the Dodgers this offseason. Mizuhara confirmed to ESPN that he has been paid between $300,000 and $500,000 annually to serve as the interpreter for Shohei Ohtani. Mizuhara told ESPN Tuesday his bets were placed on international soccer, the NBA, the NFL, and college football. To quote Mizuhara, "I never bet on baseball. That's 100%. I knew that rule. We have a meeting about that in spring training," end quote. Yeah, that is forbidden, and it's posted in every major league locker room, whether it be during the regular season or in spring training, that gambling on baseball is prohibited. And you know what kind of hot water Pete Rose got into as a result on gambling on the game of baseball. Major League Baseball players and employees are allowed to bet on sports other than baseball, but not with illegal bookmakers or offshore websites. The league rulebook states that the bets placed with illegal bookmakers are subject to punishment at the commissioner's discretion. A Major League Baseball source told ESPN that the league has not been contacted by federal authorities and was not aware of the situation until ESPN raised it in recent days. The source said Major League Baseball's next step would be to gather facts, which could take time in light of the ongoing federal investigation. Boy, what a mess. It is truly a mess. And unfortunately, I mean, this is a great thing that Major League Baseball is trying to expand their brand and go to South Korea, where baseball is immensely popular, not only a baseball played by the Korean baseball organization, the KBO, but a big interest in Major League Baseball. There are a number of Korean players in Major League Baseball, and players from Japan, of course, in Major League Baseball, including Ohtani. And there's a great deal of interest in Major League Baseball in Seoul, South Korea. Unfortunately, it's been very much overshadowed by these events that have been uncovered within the past 48 hours or so. And this controversy will probably continue for quite some time. Federal authorities learned of Ohtani's wire payments in January as part of their investigation into Boyer. Now, Boyer is the bookmaker. His bookmaking operation, a source told ESPN, reviewed wire transfer data for two of those transactions, each totaling $500,000. Now, remember, Shohei Ohtani's interpreter was in debt, allegedly, for $4.5 million. Now, those wire transfers to the bookmaker, the illegal bookie, as it were, totaling $500,000 each, Shohei Ohtani is visible alongside various bank account and wire transfer information and the word loan. All right, so there you go. Ohtani is the Japanese two-way player's legal name. Officials from the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Central District of California declined comment. An attorney for Boyer's bookmaking associate also declined comment. Two sources said neither Ohtani nor Mizuhara has been contacted by federal authorities. Now, Boyer, the bookie, he's 48. He could be facing potential felony charges. His home was raided by federal authorities in October, according to multiple sources and documents reviewed by ESPN. According to a search warrant inventory obtained by ESPN, agents seized cash, casino chips, banking documents, and a money counting machine, multiple computers, portable storage devices, and cell phones. Agents also seized two Breitling watches, I guess they're fancy watches, and nearly a dozen luxury handbags made by Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Hermes. I am not familiar with any of those handbags, folks, except Louis Vuitton. That's pretty famous, and Chanel and Hermes, I have no clue. Mizuhara told ESPN he met Boyer at a San Diego poker game in 2021. Started to bet with him on credit later that year. Mizuhara estimated his losses amounted to more than $1 million by the end of 2022 and ballooned, did they ever, from there. Well, there you go. That's the story as we have it right now. Lots of loose ends to tie up, that is for sure. And this story will not go away for a while. I can guarantee you that. That'll do it for this edition of Kale and Company. Thank you all very much for joining us. We are presented by Northeast Delta Dental. Remember, folks, to always look on the bright side of life. Never bet with a bookie. And have a great Thursday, everybody.